I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
Woo! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinker. This is a very different show. I kind of explain this on a lot of openings to the show, but I find myself, as I read through the news, really, it becomes more and more stark, really, the difference between a libertarian like myself and probably the vast majority of people who participate in politics, who listen to political talk radio, because this show is about really the failures and the abuses of government, regardless of who controls it. I've got a bunch of stories on exactly what we're going through right now, and just about everything you got here in the news today is run right back to the government. And you can say it is because of the uncoordinated Joe Biden. Yeah, we'll talk about his falling off the bike later, but only briefly, political theater stuff. But it doesn't matter who controls the government. Look, only a small group of people understand that the government is nothing but abuse and failures, and really that group is libertarians. Now, they're libertarian-leaning conservatives or Republicans, and they get close. They're certainly fellow travelers, but most other people cling to this hope that if their team wins by governing, they will lead you to the promised land, and it's just never going to happen. Absolutely never going to happen. I've talked a little bit over the last couple of weeks. The Libertarian Party has been taken over by libertarians. Kind of the Ron Paul movement. And so I've been following their Twitter account, which was pretty objectionable for the last 5 to 6 years. There were some woke folk who had taken over the Libertarian Party, and it's why it's been such an abysmal party and not really attracting a whole lot of people. Very odd group of people. Every party's got people who think differently than them, but the Libertarian Party really was run by people who were, I couldn't even understand them. But they've been taken over by kind of the Ron Paul movement. And so occasionally I may bring some of these things just to give you an idea of what the Libertarian Party is about. And I know a lot of people think, no, you got to vote red or you got to vote blue, or then you're just throwing your vote away. Well, I'll tell you what, if it's the choice of voting for the lesser of two evils or voting my conscience, I'll vote my conscience every time, because the lesser of two evils is still evil. Here's some tweets that were out just in the past few days from the Libertarian Party. Wokeism and CRT are anti-American and anti-liberty. We oppose all of this insanity. If you really want to oppose racism, then treat people as individuals, free individuals. Racism, collective guilt, and the tyranny that inevitably follows are always wrong. I didn't track this next one down to what came out of the White House, but this was the Libertarian Party responding to @POTUS. And they say, individuals built all property and prosperity that now exists. Not the Federal Reserve, not the IRS, not the state bureaucracies, not your wealth redistribution schemes. Individuals build and the state destroys. That's a tweet from the Libertarian Party. They also said, in a century's time, the elites in Washington, D.C. have brought us the income tax, the Federal Reserve, the military-industrial complex, the surveillance state, the drug war, and nearly all other vile policies. We don't want to be a part of that country club. We seek to end it. And this last tweet from the Libertarian Party, this is replying to POTUS. How many child shots will it take to flatten whatever imaginary curve you're tracking now? The unholy union of yourself and your favorite pharma giants isn't needed to guide the health decisions of individuals. So the Libertarian Party, taken over by actual libertarians. Some of the followers of the great Ron Paul are in charge at the Libertarian Party. I would imagine they'll get many, many of my votes, whether they work or not. I ran across this. I like to think occasionally I'm even ahead of Tucker Carlson on some issues. Tucker Carlson being one of the only kind of independent minds on all of media, even on Fox News, where he is followed by the statist, neocon, warmongering hack, Sean Hannity. I can't ever resist a chance to dig at Sean Hannity, one of the worst Judas goats on television and radio. But I've been following Jimmy Dore for a long time. I've talked about him many times on this show. He's a comedian. He is a left-wing, progressive comedian. But he is honest. He's honest in what he believes, and I disagree with him on many of the things he believes, but he can also see through the Washington and the political theater BS. And Tucker Carlson, I've been talking about Jimmy Dore pretty much since the day I came on air because I've followed his podcast. I would rather listen to a leftist with an open mind and the ability to critical think than any conservative radio that gives me political talking points. That I find wildly boring. And I would love to sit down with Jimmy Dore and have a big fat debate with him on a whole bunch of stuff, government-sponsored health care. A lot of the things that he talks about, I think he's wrong on, but he's honest. He believes those things. I believe something different. But he is somebody that's willing to talk to somebody, including going on the Tucker Carlson show, which he gets constantly blasted by the left for. You know, the tolerant, loving left calls him out as some kind of a neocon for going on the Tucker Carlson show. But he went on a rant the other day. This is Jimmy Dore, a progressive left-wing comedian. And this is also to my point. Everybody loves to throw anybody who votes differently, who may be on the left, who may have some progressive ideas. And this guy is bordering on socialist in many ways. So I can't tell you how I disagree with him incredibly on many, many issues. But I think he's changed his tune on a whole lot of the stuff, including the woke stuff. And there are a lot of these people on the left, even if they believe the government should provide you health care and free college and some of these other harebrained ideas, it doesn't mean they're all insane. And Jimmy Dore is one of those thinkers on the left, at least on many of the issues. This was Jimmy Dore on Tucker Carlson. I just thought he went on a rant that was worthy of playing.
Now, are you keeping a list of all the things Putin is doing?
Russia's very powerful. They control a lot of things. They overthrew our government. They committed a coup on America. They control the gas prices, and Russia's responsible for our inflation. And let me just tell you, last time I checked, Russia couldn't get their good vodka into Trader Joe's. So I don't think they're really controlling everything like they say they are. Okay. So the Democrats right now are in power. They have complete control of government. And like all politicians, they don't want to take the blame for anything. They want right. you to blame everybody and everything or anybody and anything for the pain that you're feeling right now, except blame them, the people with the power right now. And so that's why everything comes back to Putin, because Putin is a proxy for their Trump hate. Right. And you said Larry Summers blamed January 6th on inflation, which is an old Clinton advisor. So what they don't want us to realize is that we have a unipolar government, right? So yes. If you vote for Joe Biden, it's you're voting for Goldman Sachs. If you Mitch McConnell, the same thing. You're voting for our oligarchy. True. And they don't want you to know that. And as soon as people wake up that we've been being screwed by the same billionaires that control Joe Biden, that control the Republican Party, that's what scares them. They don't want us to. They don't want me on your show talking to your audience, telling them that people on the left, we smell a rat. And we know that Joe Biden is completely controlled by the oligarchy and the corporations. And right now, the American people are paying the price. What are we paying the price for? Not for Putin's inflation, not for Putin's gas hike. This is Joe Biden's invasion. This is NATO's invasion. This is Joe Biden's policies. These are Joe Biden's policies that are wrecking the dollar, that are propping up the ruble to it's stronger than it's ever been. And they're blaming a foreign country. Imagine if Trump did that. They'd be making jokes about it every night on the nightly news. Of course, they're not. The nightly talk shows. But of course, they're not. They're all coddling. You saw Jimmy Kimmel have to coddle that old man, the guy who probably got stuck in a couch before he left that place. This is who's. And you know, Joe Biden's not making the decisions. We all know that he's mentally right. impaired. And we all know that Kamala Harris isn't making those decisions because she also can't speak in clear sentences. So who is really running the country? Well, whoever runs the Democratic Party, which is a handful of billionaires, those are the ones. So if you're paying a higher price, they did a controlled demolition of our economy with the COVID lockdowns. And that's nobody right. wants to take responsibility for that. COVID lockdowns, which Johns Hopkins University proved, saved zero lives. They didn't make any impact on the death rate whatsoever, right? So that they don't want to take responsibility for that. They want you to blame your neighbor. They won't want you to be angry at the oligarchs or Fauci or Big Pharma or the media that controls you, that makes you think that essential medicines are poison. They want you to blame your neighbor. It's everybody is a Trumper or they're not. It's you're with us or against us. And that is a that's the only message they have left. And then they have censorship left because they have failed, Tucker. Why do you think it is that Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer are the leaders in the House and Nancy in the Senate and Nancy is the leader in the because they're not leaders. Those people have negative charisma. I wouldn't ask Chuck Schumer directions to the freeway. Why are they the leaders? Because they're the ones who take the most money from the billionaire class that actually runs this country. They take the money from them and they disperse it to the other members of Congress so they vote for them as leader, not because they're leaders, but because they're the most corrupt.
Man, is that true? Great, Jimmy Dore. Great to see you tonight. Thank you so much.
I love anybody that's awake. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care. And he makes that point. I'm telling you right now. I ran across a clip this morning. I saved it to my Watch Later file on YouTube. Joe Rogan had somebody on it. I didn't even see who the guy was. And they're talking about what civil war would mean for the United States. And there are people on the right and the left that are chomping for, you think you need a civil war. You need to start firing on your neighbor, firing across the street in your subdivision. Because people vote different than you. And I can just imagine what absolute chaos that is. Yeah, they don't want you to notice that the oligarchs are controlling this country. Republicans don't want you to notice that. Democrats don't want you to notice that. What they want you to notice is just the other side. The other side's doing it. It's the other side that's always the problem. And these two parties are controlled by exactly the same people. And they do not want you to see that. God love Jimmy Dore. I don't quite understand. Seems like this would be an easy conversation to have with him. You see the corruption at the government level. Why do you want them handling all of our health care? You see the corruption at the academic level and at the government level. Why would you want them providing free college to everybody? Where do you think that money is going to come from? It seems like that would be an easy conversation with him. He's not there yet, but I'll bet he gets there if he keeps down this path. And it's been years in the making listening to Jimmy Dore. I've watched the awakening of Jimmy Dore. He supported the squad. Now, I know that probably disqualifies him to a lot of people. Oh, my gosh, he had that thought. Well, the squad told him that they were going to give him free health care and these other kinds of things, and he voted for him. Then they got to Congress, and I've listened to him wake up to them and realize what stooges they are, too. Even the most progressive, even the most conservative, largely, are bought and paid for, and they never deliver what they tell you they're going to deliver. And Jimmy Dore, watching his awakening has been fantastic. I've enjoyed watching the awakening of a whole lot of people over the past few years. Jimmy Dore just gets a platform to say it out loud in one big diatribe. So I thought that was worth playing. I'll be right back.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side.
You know, what's amazing to watch is people herded into partisanship, you know, back to kind of Jimmy Dore's point. Is that we have a uniparty there. They're serving the same people. They give the different rhetoric. It's professional wrestling. But it is this government that just, I mean, this story about the mess that has been made by the government and how it is, you know, the fact that the root cause is our government is just completely ignored. It's not even addressed in any of the news stories on this. There's no argument out there, I don't think, that can be made against the fact that, you know, federal governments, national governments across the Western world have exercised more power over their people and their economies over the past 2 years than certainly in our history, modern history. I'm always aware that, you know, I'm not the biggest historian of times long before me. But certainly over the last 2 years, we saw, you know, save Sweden. Sweden allowed their people to just be people, and they had better outcomes from COVID. But across the Western world, Germany, Spain, Italy, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, all of the Western powers exercised all of this power over their people, over their economies, over the businesses in these countries. And does anybody notice the result right now? We've never been more miserable. Last week, they reported that consumer confidence in the United States was at its lowest level ever. Worse than the 2008-2009 financial crisis. Worse than the 1970s. I think they tracked it back then, but they might have started this in the early 80s kind of as a response. But certainly since they've been keeping records, U.S. consumer confidence last week hit the lowest level ever. Now in England, I know there's a lot of people out there, it's just that Joe Biden. See what happens when you elect that Joe Biden? I mean, I agree. He's a train wreck, but I don't know if he's affecting wages in England. Despite a nominal year-on-year wage growth of at least 4% for each month in 2022, the real earnings of employees in the United Kingdom are decreasing due to inflation. That was data provided by the Office of National Statistics themselves. The UK's, this is England's, misery index is at its highest since 1992. And so you see, there's a theme here that I would like people to kind of pay attention to. You give the government a lot of power, you get more miserable. And it really doesn't matter who's running it, if you haven't noticed. You've got in England right now, you've got the conservative, Boris Johnson. Of course, he just turns out he's a huge globalist and Green New Deal, Build Back Better guy, but we were sold, Boris Johnson, or the English people were sold on Boris Johnson, that he's the conservative maverick over in England. No, he's a globalist stooge. And these governments do not serve people, they abuse people. Have you seen the numbers on, I ran across this stack of headlines. Problems soar for airlines. Canceled flights rise. Staff shortages threaten to ruin summer. Travelers stranded at LaGuardia wait in hours-long lines. And then Buttigieg meets with executive. Thousands of flights wound up canceled and delayed during the Juneteenth and Father's Day holiday weekend, which included the busiest air travel day of the year on Friday, according to the TSA. More than 2.4 million people traveling through TSA Stasi checkpoints. I inserted one word there. On Friday, according to the agency, the same day airlines had canceled more than 1,100 flights by early afternoon, following more than 1,700 cancellations on Thursday, according to the Associated Press. More than 6,300 flights were delayed within or into or leaving the U.S. on Saturday, and 859 flights, I guess these are international flights, were canceled. And so our transportation secretary is ready to wield the strong power of the federal government to hold these airlines accountable. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg told the AP in an interview Saturday his department may take enforcement action against airlines that do not abide by consumer protection standards. It says even staffing shortages at the FAA, which falls under Buttigieg's purview, has contributed to flight delays, according to the AP. As of Saturday afternoon, more than 2,900 U.S. flights were delayed. 760 were canceled altogether. Disruptions came on the heels of 8,940 flight delays and 1,470 cancellations on Friday. Many travelers face similar issues around Memorial Day, with more than 2,800 flights canceled during the holiday weekend. Now, this is what the government's response to this is. Buttigieg's department will wait to see if there are major flight disruptions over the July 4th holiday weekend and the rest of the summer before deciding whether to step up enforcement against the airlines. Now, here's where it gets interesting and where I say they totally gloss over the fact that this is a government-created crisis. Buttigieg said the airline executives told him that their companies are attempting to hire and train new pilots and other workers to meet demand. They also said they're hiring more customer service representatives to help passengers rebook canceled flights or get refunds to them. Government could levy fines against the airlines, but those have typically been small. So here's what happened. You get an industry like the airline industry. You mandate an experimental shot on all of the employees of these airlines. A bunch of people quit. It looks like there's certainly a lot of stories. A lot of pilots have been injured by these vaccines, forced on them by the government. And then you blame the airlines themselves for all of these delays. Ultimately, it is the American public, Republican, Democrat, black, white, young, old, you're all in the same boat. Y'all had your flights canceled. Nobody who voted for Joe Biden got special passage through any gateways, I would imagine. You probably had your flights canceled too. Doesn't matter how you vote, what's your lot in life, you're all in this same boat together. And this is on the heels of, you know, thousands of fights on airlines. Because why? Because the government forced people to wear masks during these things. But it is a hell of a thing to see all of these citizens. And I mean, is anything sadder than somebody who might have had a flight delayed and couldn't observe their Juneteenth holiday? Father's Day seemed to take a bit of a second fiddle to Juneteenth this year. I don't know if these things are. Do they always line up? Are they always the same day? But anyway, the government forces all of these things. We are left to endure the consequences of them. And they don't even bring up, they don't even mention why these things are happening. We didn't hear these kinds of stories back in 2019, 2018, 2017, 2016, 2015, none of these other years. But as soon as the government gets in and starts meddling around in the airline industry, now the airlines, as I've said many times, they could have stood up against this stuff. We're a private business. We'll decide if our customers have to wear masks. We're not letting the government tell us to force and police our passengers. You know, airlines, all they had to do was say, look, you can wear a mask or not wear a mask, and people would decide, and all the hystericals would stay away from airlines that didn't force a mask. But I would imagine most people didn't want to have to be masked for, particularly if you're sitting on the tarmac for hours in a delayed flight, standing in a line in an airport where you're forced to also don the face binky. So I would imagine they would have been very popular. But unfortunately, the airlines have been bought and paid for by anyone, the government themselves, because they got all these bailout funds back in 2020. Tens of billions of dollars floated into the airlines. So the airlines have to play ball with the government. The government creates the problem. And then they blame the companies. They blame the industry that they've targeted previously to cause the problems. They blame them for the problems that the government caused in the first place. I mean, this is pretty amazing to watch. So, I thought I was going to be on a flight next month. I'd already kind of looked at these things and thought, well, I mean, how many days ahead of time do I need to book my flight out to Seattle to make sure that I get there in time? As it turns out, my unvaxxed status has had me disinvited from the wedding I was planning to attend. So I guess this is a non-issue for me now. But, you know, if people would catch on, if people would just catch on, it sure would be nice for everybody to understand, look, this is an anti-government show. Maybe I just want to be more popular. I'm tired of losing out to the people who just want control of this massive government and don't point out that it is the government itself, regardless of who is shepherding it, that is actually the problem. Now, if people ever figured this out, torches, pitchforks, I'm a big fan of tar and feathers. And if they don't even get the message there, I'm ready to go at any time into the guillotine business. I'm ready to capitalize on that. We'll be right back.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I am curious. I mean, it's going to be interesting in the midterms. I think the Republicans will certainly wipe the floor with the Democrats. Maybe some suspicion out there that there's no such thing as fair elections anymore. If we don't see a red wave, whew, boy, is that going to stink. There is no way in this current backdrop the ruling party maintains control. You know what that game is, right? You know, they always talk about in a president's first year, they always lose seats. During Trump's term, he lost fewer seats than most people, but you switch parties. Basically, what it is that Americans are so dumb that we keep trying. You know, we respond to one bad thing with another bad thing. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there, you consider yourself Republicans, Republican Party, better than the Democrats on some issues. They're actually worse on some others, but anyway. So what happens is everybody lines up and they vote the Democrats in. Right now, the Democrats run the table, right? They've got the House. They've got the Senate. They've got the presidency. And people realize it's a disaster. So they'll vote to go do something else. And they'll give the Republicans a few years. And they'll realize that the oligarchs are still in control. Now, conservatives will be convinced to sit down and shut up and just pop the popcorn, like the Q movement said. That was the most depressing thing about Q during the Trump years. They were literally, some of the memes were, just wait, pop popcorn, just sit back and enjoy the show. And that's exactly what happened. You had a bunch of conservatives, so-called patriots, who basically just sat back and did absolutely nothing. Q convinced you to sit on your butt and not do anything, and that's what we've got us here. But so one party gets control, everybody realizes it's a disaster, they give it to the other side. Still, things aren't going great, so they vote the other side. I mean, we just go back and forth. It's like some bizarro evil tennis match. This is why every time presidents lose the House and the Senate, because it's another failure. It doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat. People realize, oh, this isn't working for me. You know, I was checking Market Watch just to see what the markets were doing today. There's supposed to be a big short squeeze maybe this week. So if you're in the markets, you might have a cheery week this week. I think we're still in some pretty dangerous territory when the markets, but I just couldn't help but read some of these headlines. I mean, the theme of this show is what the government's doing to us. Here's CBS Market Watch headlines. Why retiring this year could be a, quote, worst case scenario. Don't panic about your 401k. Here's one. Is inflation bad enough to delay retirement? Start crunching the numbers. That's right, tax slave. Keep working. You thought you had a date picked out where you were going to go and ride off into the sunset. No more. Get back to work. Here's one that says, too scared to check your 401k as Dow tumbles below 30,000? Too worried to peek at your brokerage account? Here's when you should look and when you should go for a walk instead. And I love this one here. Well, there's a couple here. Stock investors are still in danger, but history says bear markets are relatively brief. Well, you might want to talk to Japan about that one. Japan has been in a bear market since 1990. 1990. That's 32 years. Japan's Nikkei index peaked, I believe it was in 1990. And 20 years later, it was still half of what it was. But that could never happen here, could it? And this one says, history says the next bull market is just months away, and it could carry the S&P 500 to the $6,000 level, according to Bank of America. This is always put your money into the market. Keep putting your money into the market. Wall Street loves money in the market. They need your money. Now, I would suggest, too, that the oligarchs, they're exiting. They need you to keep buying, so they've got somebody to sell to. But this is, again, this is Republicans and Democrats delaying retirement, blacks and whites delaying retirement, young and old, scared to look at their 401k statements. Yeah, everything's going swimmingly. There was a story, talk about the abuse of government. There's a story out of Canada. Let's see if I can pull this up. It paywalled me a little bit, but I got a glimpse at the story here where the headline was clickbait for me. She confided in a doctor about her depression. The next thing she knew, the government took away her driver's license. Now, this is Ontario, Canada, where they have gone full-on authoritarian. I can't imagine. I mean, if you want to talk about anybody that's got some crooked elections, it's got to be Canada. I've spent a lot of time in Canada, really liked Canada. We saw during the truckers' strikes up there that were so popular, people just thousands and thousands of people along every single bridge that these truckers went under with signs and banners and people honking horns and cheering these truckers as they went there. But somehow we're led to believe that Justin Trudeau can maintain power in Canada. I would imagine we're not the only one with election issues. But during this story here, and get ready for this kind of stuff, it's almost like a red flag law for a driver's license. During an intense flare-up of her depression, Carissa McKay checked into a Thunder Bay hospital for crisis care. 3 days later, McKay had her license suspended after a psychiatrist she doesn't recall ever meeting reported her to the Ministry of Transportation. Holy cow. For McKay, 24 years old, who relied on her Hyundai sedan to shuttle her between her nursing school classes and two part-time jobs caring for elderly patients, it was, quote, an absolute blindside. Oh, what has happened to our formerly free Canada, to the north of us as well. and talking about the fact that governments don't listen to people. Governments are there to abuse people, to do things that you don't want to do. Europeans are divided between those who want the war in Ukraine to end as soon as possible, even if that means giving concessions to Russia, and others who believe Russia must be clearly defeated and punished. According to a survey published on Wednesday by the European Council of Foreign Relations in Berlin, a relative majority of 35% of Europeans want a negotiated peace agreement with Russia as soon as possible, and 22% of those polled believe the war must continue and the West must refrain from offering Russia any concessions. It goes down in here. 52% of Italians, and I would imagine this is probably across the world. Most people just want to see this thing end before any more people die. They're reporting that 10,000 Ukrainian civilians now are dead in this conflict. And so country after country, most people outside of Poland and Great Britain, most of the European countries that are kind of leading the charge on this conflict with Russia, and we've got a little bit more on that later, but they don't want to see it happen, but the governments are full steam ahead. I don't know what the appetite here. Judging by all the Ukraine flags that I see in Twitter responses, I guess there's a large chunk of our population that is certainly fine. I don't get the sense, though, when I see these people with Ukraine flags on their social media posts, I don't get the sense that they're on the front lines posting. I get the sense they're somewhere comfy here in the States, just watching from afar, willing to sacrifice to the last Ukrainian this battle against Russia, but there may still be an appetite for it. Some people here in the United States, when it comes to this stuff, there was a story. I can't remember who ran it. Might have been The Guardian. The headline was something like "Twitchy, Fidgety, Sweating Putin." You know, they show him in a meeting, and they've got this kind of montage of little clips of Vladimir Putin. They want you to believe that the guy is about to die and that he's no longer capable of running the thing. Sometimes he does not look well. There's a lot of conjecture going around about Vladimir Putin's health. I got to tell you, I hope he's not sick. I really do, because he's been one of the more calm people. He certainly has put up with a lot over the years. And somebody else, a more hawkish person taking over Russia, might be substantially worse for the world. But this montage of stuff was such a big nothing. He's sitting up there under the lights, and maybe his forehead was glistening a tiny bit, and he did move around in his chair and adjust his tie, but they couched this, unless I missed some footage, they couched this as some guy basically twitching out, having a seizure on the world stage right in front of everybody. I saw nothing out of the clip to do that. I think it's just more propaganda to say Vladimir Putin is not well. He needs to be removed. He's not well. We don't really know. He has appeared a little puffy from time to time, and there's been some suspicion that he has been sick for a while. Its problem is you cannot trust anything the Western media says. I'm going to take a quick break and come back. You know, I'm not going to rehash too much Biden falling off of his bike. It is just a great, it really is just kind of a great illustration of where the United States is under Joe Biden. But there was an Atlantic headline. I don't know if you saw this one or not. It was the Atlantic headline in response to Joe Biden falling off of his bike that I thought was the most comical. I'll do that when we come back. Stay with me. Next hour, I've got a doctor that has come out that has reviewed the Pfizer safety data trials, safety air quotes around that word, for these shots that are being rolled out on our children. I think probably the most important issue going on in the United States right now, even more than the inflation, gas prices, anything, the fact that our toddlers are about to be set upon by the medical establishment and the pharmaceutical companies in light of this testing, the reporting on this testing. You got to stick around and hear this. And this clip will be something you might want to send to any loved ones, any friends, any family that may be thinking about injecting their child with this experimental gene therapy. I think it's incredibly important. We'll be talking a lot about that. This is the week they're going to start rolling these things out. Wait till you hear what this doctor says. They've looked through the data from the test. Finish up this hour. I guess I can only call this segment some of the dumbest headlines I've ever seen. Everybody knows Joe Biden fell off of his bike. Yes, it was funny. Yes, it is illustrative of the Joe Biden presidency, no doubt about it. But what was even more absurd than watching that is the Atlantic Daily. The Atlantic, I don't know, do they still print anything or they're all online? I don't know. It's the Atlantic. This was their headline, "The Heroism of Biden's Bike Fall." I'm not joking. This is what it says, "The Heroism of Biden's Bike Fall." The subheadline is, "The President Gracefully Illustrated." This, we are full on doublespeak, aren't we? "The President gracefully illustrated an important lesson for all Americans. When we fall, we must get back up." Oh, God. Oh, thank God for Joe Biden's graceful lesson to all of us. Without Joe Biden, I don't know how many people in this country might fall down and just never get back up. Maybe they didn't know that was an option. This is how the Democrats think of their voters. "We got to show you, you're a child. You're all toddlers. Get back up. Come on, get back up." The heroism of Biden's bike fall. He is a hero, isn't he? He is quite the hero. There were other headlines about him. I mean, I haven't even read this story yet. Joe Biden sends every signal he is running again in 2024. There's no way that's true. There is absolutely no way. I don't know the political calculation of making it sound like he's going to be running. Obviously, there's some reason to float the idea that he's going to run for re-election. I don't know. Probably just money-wise. Maybe he just gets to, he realizes he's got to cash in. It's his last bite at the apple. He needs to get as much cash in as possible. I don't know, but there's no way he's running. It says the malaise of Joe and Dem impatience grows. I'm telling you, they're going to throw this man under the bus. Maybe quite literally, after what we saw on the bike, getting run over by a bus is not far off, is it? But for an even more absurd headline, well, no, nothing's more absurd than the Atlantic calling Joe Biden's fall heroic. But there's something called Jezebel. It bills itself. Let's see what it says. It says sex, celebrity, politics with teeth. I don't know exactly what that means. But this is a piece, obviously, they're a left-leaning organization here. They wrote a piece. I guess this is a hit piece on Elon Musk. This is the headline. "Elon Musk is a huge, quote, free speech, unquote, advocate. But if you criticize him, you're fired." Now, this is what this story says. Elon Musk, the world's wealthiest man, is in the process of closing a $44 billion deal to buy Twitter because he was very upset that some people got kicked off the platform for being hateful, disinformation-peddling Nazis. Gee, I wonder what angle these people are coming at the story with. They go on to say, he believes in free speech, and he believes in it for everyone, dash, unless, apparently, you want to criticize him. At 2 a.m. on Friday morning, the New York Times reported that SpaceX had allegedly fired some employees who were involved in writing and distributing an open letter to their boss, Elon Musk. The now former employees criticized Musk's latest conduct, including his behavior on Twitter and the recent sexual misconduct allegation against him, writing that it's, quote, a frequent source of distraction and embarrassment. The letter also asks SpaceX to rein Musk in, writing that the company's leaders should, quote, publicly address and condemn Elon's harmful Twitter behavior and define and uniformly respond to all forms of unacceptable behavior. That letter was reportedly circulated on a Wednesday, and by Thursday afternoon, a number of the employees involved were fired, though it's unclear how many. Now, what this is funny about this is for, I mean, I don't know if this is just a hit piece and they just suspend all rationality, all logic, all everything. Let me just tell you, though, too. Number one, the lesson should be to anybody, don't hire any social justice warriors. You are asking for trouble. I had an interview with somebody recently applying for a job, and I'm like the CIA in getting people to talk. You wouldn't believe I have a way of engaging people to get them really run at the mouth and sabotage themselves, but it's better on the front end than after they get hired. You know, somebody said, well, they left two jobs because their bosses were racist. Well, that's a big warning sign. Don't hire any social justice warriors. They will do nothing but cause you problems. in your employee pool. But the bigger matter about this is that for any of social justice warriors out there that don't really understand the concept of free speech is guaranteed that we will not be put in jail for anything that we say. It does not mean you can go after you can go after your boss without repercussions. If you call your boss names, call him a sexual predator, demand that action be taken against your boss, you will be fired. You do not have free speech within a business structure from the smallest business to the largest. And maybe this is lost. You think that free speech means you can say anything you want at any time to anybody that you want without consequence. Sometimes it's a punch in the face, and sometimes you get canned.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thank you for joining me today. I'm going to get into some of this crime. This approval of these shots for children under 5 years old is one of the worst things I've ever seen our medical establishment do, and that is saying a lot. If you listen to my health show, you'll understand the spears that I throw at our medical establishment as we get sicker and sicker, yet more and more profitable for the people peddling the treatments, the pills, the surgeries, the cut, the burn, the poison model, but this is probably the worst thing I've ever seen. It was the worst thing I'd seen before this was them authorizing these shots for teenagers. But it gets worse when you start talking about toddlers. The younger you go, the more development that human body has to undergo with no long-term testing. This is a crime against humanity, I believe. And in a just world, there would be some risk-benefit analysis done at the medical provider level. See, right now, they're risk-free. You can't sue them. It's just all upside to them. It's very profitable to inject your child with no downside whatsoever. None. You can't touch them. More on that in just a little bit with a clip from Robert Kennedy Jr. I just observed something I'm going to tell you is, I kind of always, I don't know whether it's good or bad, but I like to kind of point out how differently I think on things than probably a lot of things that you hear on conservative talk radio. And then you can just take them in, consider them, and decide that I'm not your cup of tea, or maybe there's things that we should consider. I was just looking out the window at our beautiful Flora studios here, and a Flora police car was going through the parking lot. Now, this is nothing at all critical of the officer or the Flora Police Department. Flora is a great community, very safe. I've met several of the Flora PD. Nice guys. Seem to be doing a good job around here. People know, if you've listened to my show, my problem with policing is that really they have to, they're tasked to do things that I think are unconstitutional and a little meddling in our lives, but nothing against the Flora Police Department. But what I noticed was little town of Flora, their police cars are black, with black wall tires, with blacked out windows, with one kind of gray badge on the side of them. Now, I'm not really sure what this is designed to accomplish, but I'm watching this guy, and he's gal, I don't want to be sexist, I can't see in the car because it's completely blacked out. He's probably doing a good thing. They're patrolling a shopping center just to kind of let their, nothing else going on. So they move their car around, make sure everybody knows there's a police presence here. This is a shopping area. You want to protect the people. So no criticism of strolling through the parking lot slowly, just kind of looking around, getting the lay of the land. That's great. I love the fact that police are out there to protect property and persons. But the appearance of this car just strikes me as I watch it. And maybe it was kind of because the slow drive, which is purposeful, it's to observe what's going on. Just check again. No problems with that. I've recounted the story, Madison Police Department. I had somebody vandalize my car, send me threatening messages and stuff, and I reported it to the police because the $1,500 worth of damage to my car was worth a trip down to the police department in Madison. And for a couple of weeks after that, I would be sitting at the house, and I would see these lights shining in my window, and I'd look out, and it'd be a Madison Police Department. They were running the Q-beam up and down the sides of my house just to make sure nobody was messing with any of my stuff. I really appreciated that. I didn't ask them to do it. I didn't think they would do it, but I got on their roster, and they, you know, paid a little attention to my house at a time when somebody was damaging some of my stuff. So God love them, and that's what this officer was doing now, too. I just want to make sure that the subtlety is not lost. But if this car, as it's driving through, it looks like something out of a dystopian movie. I don't know why I want to. It makes me think of a Total Recall movie, maybe. Except, you know, this Florida police car is operating on tires. It's not hovering. It doesn't have a nuclear-powered system in it, whatever it is in the sci-fi stuff. But a blacked-out car with black rims and blacked-out windows with basically no color to it is as ominous-looking as possible. Now, I guess we've been conditioned to believe that this is a sign of strength, I guess. But I'll tell you, you look at any movie where the police are portrayed in a tyrannical society, you know, with a lot of movies out there with the freedom fighter fighting the system. For some reason, we love that in the movies. In real life, most people lick the boots of the tyranny. But this car, I just don't think it's doing you any favors as far as being a part of the community is. And again, no knock on what the officer was just doing. No knock on the Florida Police Department at all. I'm just saying, can we lighten up a little bit on the car? This ominous, it looks like they're going to roll up on you and just take you out. These things, they do not look great. I'll be honest with you. I like the Jackson police cars. Now, God knows there's not enough of them. They need more police on the streets in Jackson. They have a shortage. They've got the white with the orange stripe. There is some hint there that they could be out there for good things, you know? To help people. The ominous black on black, blacked out windows, black everything, antennas all over the place. To me, that is just, that's an oppressive image to me in a society like America. We've gone from officer friendly, which I remember in my youth, and come in the blue uniform and the hat and come and tell you how much the police like you and what they're out there to do to help protect you and your family, which was just a great message, to now we've got full on military garb. In blacked out vehicles, I don't think it's doing anybody any favors. And I wanted to touch back on real quick before we start getting into this. I keep starting to say this is not a vaccination. This is not a vaccination program for our toddlers. This is a genetic experiment on the children. Before I get into the genetic experiment, you know, it's interesting in looking at that story about the Tesla people getting fired for taking on their boss. Let me just tell you, it's really never a great idea. This is one of those things where if you go after your boss, you pretty much better either don't wound him. You better take him out or just shut up. Find another place to work if you don't like your boss. But going after him seldom works out well. But it's very interesting to me to watch what's happened around social justice warriors, even the Me Too movement, and how this backfires on the people who participate in this stuff. Whether you are a Pride member, you're somebody with the alphabet lifestyle, if you are a person of color, a POC, if you are a woman, any of these supposedly abused classes of people, the more noise you make about what you perceive to be your mistreatment, do you realize the less opportunity you will have going forward? And as somebody who has hired a lot of people during my professional career, probably well over 1,000 people I've hired, I've been through a lot of situations where we've hired, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. The more of a marginalized class that you define as a marginalized class, the more power you have in the courts. And by that, I mean, employers recognize this. When you go in for a job interview into some companies as a woman. Now, the Me Too movement, I get it on its face a little bit. I've worked with some creepy dudes. My heart sympathies go out. To women who endure crass comments and kind of creepy behaviors from guys. I've worked with guys who kind of, let's say, inappropriate things, just weird. I feel bad for women. But what happens when you go into a job as a woman, if there's been a lot of activity around the fact that, you know, women are suing their bosses for this and for that, and it goes so nuts, you know, it's gotten to the point where women are demanding this respect in the workplace to the extent that if you tell them their hair looks nice, suddenly you could find yourself in a deposition. And so the more you talk about these things, the less opportunities you're going to have, because as a boss sits down with a woman, a pride member, a POC person of color, they have to really weigh in the back of their minds, is this person so beneficial to my business that I'm willing to risk a lawsuit? Because if the professional relationship with one of these people in these so-called, air quotes here in the studio, marginalized groups, if the relationship goes sour, if I need to terminate this person at some point, I am probably going to be facing a lawsuit. And they have to really start thinking about that, and it actually makes the barrier to entry into all kinds of jobs much, much higher. For these same people who are demanding this equality, you're actually hurting yourselves. And the ironic thing is, what this comes down to is that, you know who the safest person for an employer to hire is? Anyone? Anyone? A straight, white dude. The safest hire you can make, if you are an employer, is to hire a straight, white male. Which means there are so many more opportunities out there, notwithstanding this push towards equality and equity that some of the big corporations are doing because they're just virtue signaling, so you don't pay attention to the fact that they're looting the country. But for the vast majority of people out there on Main Street or smaller companies or anybody, hiring a straight white male is your safest bet, because you know that if you do have to fire them, if the relationship goes south, if they don't produce like they should, or if they're a problem to the company, or if there needs to be even downsizing at some point, you know you can toss out a straight white male and he's got basically no recourse. With any of these other so-called, air quotes in the studio, marginalized groups, people of color, women, part of the pride, in any of those people, you realize, even if it's not a sideways, even if you just need to downsize, you just cannot afford to keep your staff, the economy is not going well, and you need to do layoffs, you realize every person that you hire that considers themselves part of this protected class is a potential lawsuit waiting. So it is probably this push for equality and equity, the movement towards social justice and wokeism, all of these things have probably had the effect of making the straight white male the most attractive candidate to be hired into a business. Because you know, straight white males have basically no access to the court system to sue an employer. It's very easy to get rid of a straight white male. Very difficult to extract yourself from any legal proceeding that might include somebody marginalized. So I just find that almost comical that with all of this push, this forcing of demanding our rights and our respect and our equality, you realize all of that noise has alarmed a lot of employers, and they want no part of that on their staff. Most importantly, the social justice warriors. And I'll tell you what, like I say, I am good with an interview of getting people to open up. I interview with somebody who has been in the military, and we laugh when we get done. I told him, I said, I should have worked for the CIA, because I can get potential employees to say things they should never say in an interview just by asking some questions and getting them very comfortable to just really start talking. You wouldn't believe some of the things that come out of the mouths of people looking for jobs. And it didn't really take that much prompting. I just got them going. How long were you there? How'd you like it? You know, I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot. It takes a few probing questions, and boy, they open up like a clam. They just, bleh. Everybody's racist. Everybody hated me. You know, these kinds of things, these are all red flag things. But you can tell when you've got somebody who may come into your staff and cause problems. I would imagine there's a whole lot of employers out there right now. If they've got to see a bunch of your social justice crap all over social media, you will not be getting an opportunity with any employer. Because they know, just like SpaceX had just found out when they fired these people, these social justice warriors that are trying to take on their own boss, these companies understand that you are a troublemaker. You will be a constant aggravation in the workplace. always offended. You will be a drain. You will be a drain on the energy. You'll be an energy vampire to most people's corporations. So just keep that in mind. But the funny thing is that all of this push for equality and diversity and all these other things has probably ended up with a... Now, this, I know there's a lot of companies that are pushing this. They're mandating. They want their employee base to look a certain way, and they set ratios. And there have been white men that have been discriminated against, probably most specifically in academia. I understand that. But I would imagine for the vast majority of employers out there, they are looking for straight white males because they realize they pose the fewest problems, at least when it comes to court. Another one of the boomerang effects of leftist ideology. I'll be right back.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
All right, let's get into this. The worst thing that I see happening in the country right now, and you know that's a high bar, is this rolling out of these shots on our toddlers in this country. I think it's up to us to try to intervene. You know, parents who will take their children to get this shot are mostly victims, and we have to understand those of us that have been paying attention to the disaster that has been this COVID vaccine. Air quotes around the word. Most people don't see those things. I mean, we have to always understand that if you research these things, understand you're one of the, I don't know what, maybe 10% of people who pay attention to any of this stuff. They do not see these things. And I have seen firsthand for the last 16, 17 years that I've been on my kind of alternative health journey where I freed myself from the American medical system, that the vast majority of people, if they see a white lab coat or they see a PhD after somebody's name, they take it for gospel. They say, oh, these people went to school for this stuff. They must know so much better than me. They don't understand the corporate entanglements of the medical schools, of the researchers themselves. They don't understand the dishonesty of the FDA and the CDC, the revolving door between Big Pharma and both of those organizations, the money involved even for CDC scientists who go out and recommend this stuff and don't disclose that they're getting royalties on them each year. People do not understand that. So the way to approach a parent who may be considering experimenting on their child, they don't see it as experimenting because it's being recommended by the white lab coat crowd. And they just believe that. They're not necessarily bad parents. As a matter of fact, some of them are very good parents. They believe they have been so fear-mongered into this idea that COVID is an existential threat to everybody that comes in contact with it. They don't pay attention to the fact that it's not touching. The chance of a child having severe reaction to COVID is statistically zero. They don't pay attention to that. They have been fear-mongered too. And so we don't need to approach parents who might consider this vaccine as some kind of an enemy or an evil parent or anything like that. We need to explain to them and just ask them some questions. Hey, are you not concerned with the fact that this thing has no long-term safety effects? I mean, you know, your little Johnny, your little two-year-old Johnny, he's still got a lot of growing with his liver and his kidneys, his brain, his heart, his lungs. There's a lot of things that still need to develop in that young child. Are you not concerned that they haven't tested this thing in a developing child for a few years? And just get them to kind of think about that. And I'm also going to have a resource here, a clip I'll play in a minute that you're welcome to forward to somebody too. It's not hysterical. It's from a doctor that has looked at these Pfizer trials. And you can just send this out to them. Hey, I understand you might be considering this thing. Just wanted to float this out there to you, see if it, you know, see if you knew all of this stuff. You need to approach people with some level of grace and love and understand they just don't see what you see. And if you've been aggressive with them before, I was just disinvited from a wedding because of my vaccination status. Now, I can choose to scream at everybody there and how stupid that is, because believe me, I think it's ridiculous. A shot that supposedly does not protect you from infection or from spreading the thing, what in the hell difference does it make if I'm jabbed or not? But I'm not going to scream at these people, but these are also adults. When it comes to our children, the children have no voice. They cannot. A three-year-old cannot say to their parents, you know, I've kind of weighed the cost, the risk-benefit analysis, Mom. And I've decided that I'm not willing to accept the unknowns of this shot. Not many 3-year-olds making that argument with their parents. There weren't many 12-year-olds either, or 17-year-olds either. So we need to kindly maybe try to just inject a little bit of questioning into somebody's thought process when it comes to this, and I'm going to do a little bit of that right now. A guy named Alex Guten Tag, he tweeted this out. FDA advisors just voted 21-0 to authorize Moderna's vaccine for children 6 months old to 5 years old. Germany, France, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Finland all suspended Moderna for people under 30 due to safety concerns. But in the U.S., we'll now be giving this product to infants. How many people out there that know this? Because look, the people in Germany, France, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Finland who decided to suspend the Moderna shot for anybody under 30 years old due to safety concerns, they were wearing white lab coats when they made this decision. They are the medical establishment in these European countries. And they made the decision that anybody even 29 years old, they could not say it was an acceptable risk to have them take Moderna. Here, we're going to be giving it to 6 months old. And when I come back, I'm going to play a couple of clips, one that will explain to you why they're rolling it out on the children. They're saying it's an emergency use authorization. What's the emergency? Children aren't being hospitalized and killed by COVID. So what is this emergency? Well, the emergency is not about the health of the children. The emergency is for the pharmaceutical companies. I'll let Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Explain to you what that emergency is when we come back. Stick around.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard, melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Our government, it's very interesting. We talk about Ukraine a lot. Ukraine is known as the fourth most corrupt government in the world. Huge problems there. It appears to be a money laundering operation for a whole host of people there in Ukraine. But the corruption of our medical system is almost complete here in the United States. It's really sad, and there's great doctors, great nurses out there. They understand the conflicting or the conflicts of interest within things, and they advise people, you know, based on their health, not on the big pharma profits, hospital profits, these kinds of things. There are good doctors out there. But the system itself is just, it's rotten to the core. You think about what I just read to you, and I think this is a great thing to say to a parent that's considering giving this experimental shot to their children. Did you know that a bunch of European countries have don't allow under 30 years old to take the Moderna shot? I'm not sure what the age restriction is on Pfizer. Pfizer's got the much better lobbyists and must be sloshing a lot more money around different governments around the world, but it's the same technology. And they are restricting that for people all the way up to age 30. I mean, that should get a parent to start thinking, what? Yeah, and you could say it this way. Say, you know, the doctors in Scandinavia and other European countries have stopped giving this shot to anybody under 30 because of safety concerns. Really? I just did the search real quick. They'll find a whole bunch of articles. It's on Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, Newsweek, CNBC. It's everywhere. So they can look this up and see that other countries have safety concerns over these shots for even adults up to the age of 30. That should get a parent to listen. But this is This is Robert Kennedy Jr. He's going to explain to you, as I said, they have issued this approval of the vaccines for our toddlers under an emergency use authorization. And there's many people asking the question, what's the emergency? Kids aren't coming down with COVID and going to the hospitals and dying. So what is the emergency exactly? Now, there has been this weird thing since COVID started where we try to use our children as some kind of a shield. You need to get your children vaccinated so that Nana doesn't get COVID and die. Well, they've now come out and said, and they understand, the WHO, the CDC, they'll all admit, taking this shot does not stop you from contracting or spreading. So you're not helping Nana with this shot. And there certainly are statistics out there that say it may be actually more dangerous for Nana if your little child is running around with this shot, as we see people getting COVID multiple times after the shot. More on that in just a second. So there's no emergency for our youth, for our toddlers. There was no emergency for our teens. There was no emergency for our young adults. There was no emergency for really anybody under 70 years old. It wasn't an emergency. If you let your health go and you had multiple other bad conditions, then you probably needed to stay home or take some precautions, maybe get into shape, keep your vitamin D levels up. But it wasn't an emergency for basically anybody under 70 years old this entire time. But it sure as hell is not one for our toddlers. So what is the emergency? Well, it turns out the emergency is actually at the pharmaceutical company level. I'll let Robert F. Kennedy Jr. explain to you.
On giving this COVID vaccine that they've made to kids. I know I'm from Canada, and I think that they're implementing that in order to go to school in Canada.
Well, they have to give it to kids because here's why. They cannot market this vaccine without having an immunity shield. Oh, I mean, I sue pharmaceutical companies for a living. And I have enough criminal activity that I know about Pfizer at this point and Moderna. If they went ahead and marketed a vaccine where they end up killing people or injuring them, and I can sue them, well, they'd be through. So they're never going to market a vaccine, allow people access to a vaccine, an approved vaccine, without getting liability protection. Now, the emergency use authorization vaccines have liability protection under the PREP Act and the CARES Act. So as long as you take an emergency use, you can't sue them. Once they get approved, now you can sue them, unless they can get it recommended for children.
What?
Because all vaccines that are recommended, officially recommended for children, get liability protection, even if an adult gets that vaccine. That's why they're going after kids. They know this is going to kill and injure a huge number of children. But they need to do it for the liability protection. And here's how they know that it's going to injure kids. During the Pfizer study, they only tested it on 1,300 children. And one of those we now know was a girl called Maddie Gary. We only know about this because she and her family came forward and told us what happened. Maddie Gary got the vaccine. She immediately went into seizures. She is now in a wheelchair for life, and she needs a feeding tube to eat. So because Pfizer only tested on 1,300 kids, it is stuck with the extrapolation that one out of every 1,300 kids is going to be injured like that, an injury worse than death. Pfizer did not report her injury. Instead, it said she had a stomachache. So that's what they reported to the FDA.
Yeah. So Robert F. Kennedy's got some condition, affects his voice. Hopefully you could understand that. Basically, we need to roll this out on our kids. We need to experiment on our kids because they need to get this on the kids' schedule, because if it's approved for children, then you can't sue them, even if you're an adult. That's why they're going after the children. There's no emergency at the children's level. They're not getting sick and dying of COVID. Giving them the shot is not going to protect anybody in their family because they know that you can take the shot, you can contract COVID, and you can spread it to others. So there's no protective feature there, even as sick a theory as that is. During COVID, as we watched, we abused our children to supposedly protect the adults around them. Never been done before. Usually it's the adults who protect the children. This time, Anthony Fauci told us to hold the children up in front of us when somebody's firing at us, to use our children as human shields. But the emergency is at the pharmaceutical level. They need to make sure they've got complete liability protection, so they need this thing approved for children. Now, you may not believe that. Maybe that sounds extreme to you. And I've had some listeners take exception with me that I'm doing something dangerous by calling this out. Well, when I come back, I'm going to let you hear this doctor who went through the research data that has been presented on Pfizer's, air quotes here in the studio, safety testing of these shots. And this is the clip that, if you want to, you can always email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I'll just send you the link to this clip, or I'll give you the title when we come back. You can search for it yourself. And you can share this with any parents who are considering using their children Well, I don't even want to say it that way. Most parents who are considering getting the shot for their children think it will help their children. And they have been convinced by the perpetual use of two words, safe and effective. That's all they ever say. They have not done any independent research. They have been led to believe that anybody who disagrees with safe and effective is some kind of disinformation peddler. So this doctor who breaks down the data from the Pfizer study itself, I think, is important and can be used with a parent who may be considering taking their children in for this shot that is starting this week. And medical groups, pediatricians in the metro area, I've already seen the emails from them or the text, however they're sending their stuff out now. I don't have kids in the system here anymore. Never been happier. They are sending out things saying, great news, we'll have this shot very soon. You can bring your kids in and get this injected into their arms. So the white lab coat people here, the doctors with the stethoscope around that we don't dare question, they are already pushing this thing, and it starts this week. So I would share this clip quickly. Again, don't be angry with these people. Don't accuse them of things. You will harden them in their position. You'll make yourself look like a whack job in their eyes, and they will resist anything you say. You need to lovingly say, hey, you know, you've got my granddaughter. You've got my niece or my nephew. Maybe you've got a spouse who wants to get this shot and you don't want your child to get this shot. In a loving way, show them some of this other information that they have not been exposed to. And I think this next clip about the safety studies is one of the most important ones to share. We'll do that when we come back. Stick around. All right, you know, I talk parents don't know, because a parent is considering giving their child the shot does not make them evil. They're victims of really a mass fear campaign and a, I got to say, truly masterful pharmaceutical sales company job. You got to at least give credit to the Pfizer lobbyists. They have bought our government and our medical establishment. They're business geniuses, but they're not about your health. Well, most parents don't understand this stuff, and to be honest with you, most doctors don't either. Most doctors, what do they say? You can never get somebody to understand something if their way of life, their living, depends on not understanding it. Doctors really, they won't research this stuff either. And some just don't, and so maybe they are good doctors that think they're doing right by your children. They just refuse to do any outside investigation because the CDC and the FDA are gods to them. That's how they were trained. That's how they were raised. You might want to share some of this stuff with your medical professional, too. I'll be honest with you. If I went into a pediatrician's office with my child, with my toddler right now, and they recommended this shot, I would run. I would get out of there. Because this is somebody that is willing to give my child something with no long-term safety studies. God knows what else they're giving your child that we have no idea the consequence of. Anyway, let me get to this. This is Dr. Claire Craig. She's going to explain to you the data from the Pfizer, air quotes here in the studio, safety studies.
I'm Dr. Claire Craig. I'm a diagnostic pathologist and I am co-chair of the Heart Group. And I wanted to take you through the evidence that Pfizer just presented to the FDA on the 6 month to 4-year-old children. There's an awful lot about this trial that has shocked me and I think will shock you too. The trial recruited 4,526 children aged from 6 months to 4 years old. 3,000 of these children did not make it to the end of the trial. That is a huge number, 2/3 of them. Why was there this drop-off? That needs to be answered. And without an answer to that, on that basis alone, this trial should be deemed null and void. So what did the trial show? Well, they defined severe COVID as children who had a slightly raised heart rate or a few more breaths per minute. There were 6 children aged 2 to 4 who had severe COVID in the vaccine group, but only 1 in the placebo group. So on that basis, the likelihood that this vaccine is actually causing severe COVID is higher than the likelihood that it isn't. There was actually 1 child who was hospitalized in this trial. They had a fever and a seizure. they had been vaccinated. So now let's turn to what they defined as any COVID. And what they did was to utterly twist the data. They vaccinated the children and they waited 3 weeks after the first dose before the second dose. In that 3 week period, 34 of the vaccinated children got COVID and only 13 in the placebo group, which worked out as a 30% increased chance of catching COVID in that 3 week period if you were vaccinated. So they ignored that data. And then there was an 8 week gap between the second dose and the third dose, where again, children were getting plenty of COVID in the vaccine arm. So they ignored that data. There was then 7 weeks after the third dose, which they also ignored, which meant that in the end, they had ignored 97% of the COVID that occurred during the trial. And they just looked at tiny numbers, so tiny. In the end, they were comparing 3 children in the vaccine arm who had COVID with 7 in the placebo arm. And they said that this showed the vaccine was effective. So they measured how many of these children actually managed to catch COVID twice in the 2 month follow-up period. And there were 12 children who had COVID twice, and all but one of them were vaccinated, mostly with 3 doses. So you have to wonder what on earth they're thinking when the claim of reduction in COVID was only 4 children. And here we have 12 children who got COVID twice, 11 of them vaccinated. So let's just recap. They recruited 4,500 children, 3,000 of them dropped out. And in the end, they're claiming this vaccine works on the basis of 3 COVID cases versus 7, a difference of 4 children only. And all of this on a backdrop of a disease which doesn't affect children and with no long-term safety data. We have to ask how an ethics committee could have approved this trial in babies. Babies are not at risk from COVID. And now we have Pfizer, who are presenting this as evidence to the FDA in order to apply for an emergency use authorization. Emergency use authorization is meant for a situation where there's a risk of serious injury or death. Now, children under 5 are not at risk of serious injury or death from COVID. In fact, in their own trial, they had to make up other ways of measuring the problem because there was no serious injury or death. Now, originally, these products were sold as actually also reducing transmission. Now, it would be completely unethical to use young children as a human shield, but we now know that they don't reduce transmission. The WHO have stopped claiming and they reduce transmission. So that argument doesn't apply either. Now, if we just turn to safety, what they did is they followed up the patients for 6 weeks before unblinding them and vaccinating them. So the children who'd had placebo, the control group, were followed up for an average of 6 weeks and then given the vaccine. So that's your safety control gone forever. The fact that this trial existed at all is unbelievable. There are other issues in there which I haven't highlighted, but those are the key ones. Parents should be demanding that the decision makers explain themselves.
Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable stuff. Now, we'll get more information on this, but the time is running short now. These needles will go into children's arms within hours of now, a couple of days, I think. The Biden administration has already purchased, I think, 10 million doses. That's, I don't know, is this a 3-shot regimen? It is very curious. 3,000 of the 4,500 kids in this trial dropped out. Wonder why? Too busy? Soccer camp? I mean, who knows? I guess they're not going to tell us. They just ignored that. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. explained to you exactly why this is taking place. It's for liability shield. It has nothing to do with the health of your children. There was also one other thing. Well, a guy had tweeted out, I didn't copy the name here, but he said, any serious regulator would laugh out these proposals, because listen to this, and think about this for just a second, too. You know, we're constantly told it's the science. All these things have been studied, and you know they know with certainty everything that's taking place. Pfizer proposes 3 micrograms, Moderna 25 micrograms, basically the same thing. What's the correct amount? Nobody cares. Pfizer proposal for 6 months old is based on, drumroll, 3 COVID cases total. And that's what this girl just broke it down to you. that in the end they ignored a ton of COVID cases during the case of the trial and took it down to the seven unvaccinated who got COVID versus the four vaccinated who got COVID, and ignored the rest of the statistics to say this thing is good for you, is protective. Why is Pfizer's giving three? And you know, parents who are considering this for their children, we've been told since this thing started, doesn't matter what brand you get, just get the first one you can get. It doesn't even matter if you mix and match, just get out there and get that shot. Doesn't matter. But do parents know that with the Pfizer, you're getting 3 micrograms of something? With Moderna, you're getting 25 micrograms of the same substance? So what's the right number? Is Pfizer right? Is Moderna right? Does it not matter? Should it be 50? Should it be 12? Well, one's at 3 and one is at 25 of the same thing. So the dose is just, I mean, obviously, they have a huge disagreement on what the dose should even be for your children. That's what happens during an experiment. I guess they'll look at this down the road after they've gotten years and years and years of data stuff. Not to mention the fact they went in and vaccinated the control group after 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Now there's no control group. Now whatever happens to these kids, they'll all be on an equal footing. There'll be no way to tell if there's a long-term benefit or danger to these shots because they vaccinated the control group. I'm no scientist. I'm no rocket surgeon, but I know that's not right. We need to step in the gap and help parents make the right decision for their children if we can. That's all the time I got. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.